pressure, Brooke. No pressure. My name is Mia. That's very kind, and thank you for that welcome. Actually, I'm just like a tour guide. I take people through tours of the Bible. I take people through tours of some interesting things that God does in the life of his people. And in this case, in this last week, can I just have a wave of all the youth that is still here? Are you still here? Are we still together? Yes, we're still together. I am a member of the Compost Mentis crew. We are the third most helpful team from camp. And the reason why I'm still wearing my tag is that what I learned about your culture and your family is that if you don't wear your tag, you have to do embarrassing games. And what I learned about us as a team is that I should never take it for granted when I could be really embarrassed. So I have my tag on. Before I take you on a bit of a tour, can I just talk to your parents or guardians and to the church leaders who are here very quickly? You have beautiful people. Whatever you have done, whatever you are doing, whatever you are praying into for the lives of your young people, can I just say a real sincere thank you? Thank you for raising men and women who love the Lord. Thank you for raising men and women who know how to treat each other well. Thank you for raising young ones who can up, down with the best of them. Thank you for being a church environment that blesses leaders to grow in leadership. Thank you for those members of the congregation who are partnered to or married to, or it's your children who are leaders and you released them and supported them for a week to come on camp. Without you, it just wouldn't have happened. We're so grateful as a youth team. And on behalf of the youth, just thank you so much for a great week. We know it's a gift from God, but it's also a gift from you. And I really just want you to hear me say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is better to give than receive, and we have received greatly from God. And I hope now, guys, as a youth team, it is absolutely our time to give. It is absolutely our turn now to give back to the house of God that's blessed us and sent us out. And then, as muddy and as sleep-deprived and as smelly as we are, have welcomed us back so well. So it's definitely our turn. Guys, I don't have long with you, and I'm starting to really feel that. Like, I've had a couple of years to get prepared to come to camp, and now we've done camp, and now it's like crunch time. But while we've just got this little moment together, I want to give you some highlights. I want to give you some thoughts that we have received. And if they don't all make sense, if they're a little bit cryptic, it's because I'm trying to hold the tension between youth and youth group and youth service and mainstream Saturday afternoon congregation. And so if I don't explain the whole point, that's your cue, parents, that's your cue, adults, to find a young person and say, what did she mean about that? What is that about? Why that picture? Why that thing? When you all responded to X, why did that happen? And young people, this means that you can't give the answer, I don't know, and you can't give the answer to, hey, how was camp? Yeah, it was good. Like, what did you do? What did you learn? Oh, stuff. What did she say? What did the speaker say? Oh, Jesus. Like, you can't, guys, you can't do that. That time is well and truly past. I'm going to, like our good friend John, I'm going to just breadcrumb all the way through, because John loves a breadcrumb. And it's up to you guys to pick up the pieces and make this a part of your relationship. So when I heard, guys, that we were going to sit in the book of John for a week, I just like sat back and smiled. I was a pig in mud before the games even started. John is a really good friend of mine. He's a beloved, beloved brother. And the thing that John offers the world, both as an author and a historian and a philosopher and as a human, is something that we all need. The man, John, he knew what it was to be loved by Jesus. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And for a long time, I thought, you pompous ass, how could you? Like, you are overreaching big time, buddy. Didn't your mum and dad teach you to be humble? Didn't your church teach you not to be prideful? Come on, John. And then as I spent more time with him, I realized, like, this man lived a really long life, which was rare in the ancient world. This man outlived every other disciple. This man outlived Jesus, in a sense, and inherited his mother and inherited his younger siblings. And then when Paul went and died, thanks for that, Paul, he inherited his mentee, Timothy, in Ephesus. Like, John lived a long life, which means that when John says he knew what it was to be loved, And for a lot of us who are, you know, at the beginning of life or in the middle or at the halfway or headed towards the second half, that's the message we all desperately need. That's the thing that we all really want to hear from God, is that I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so when John calls himself that, I'm just going to take that as our inheritance and say, we can also be called the disciples whom Jesus loves. Loves, present tense. And the present tense continues on in John all the way. So you know in the Gospel of John that there are eight I am statements. And I've been pushing and drilling home to us as a team that when Jesus says, I am, he's referencing this Exodus moment in Exodus 3. When Moses comes and the burning bush starts talking, and bless him, he's brave enough to go up to the burning bush and check it out. How often does God do something and we know it's something, but we're not brave enough to go and check it out? How often does God do something and we're not brave enough to go and check it out, right? Moses goes, meets God in the burning bush, and when God says, go and do these things, he says, first of all, I can't, and then maybe I will, but who do I say has sent me? And the name God gives is I am. And young people, just breathe with me. His name is ever on our lips. Find a young person, ask them about it. Let them teach you how to breathe. I am. And the point is, it's your first breadcrumb, just in case you missed it. It's your first breadcrumb. The point is, God says to Moses, I am the God of your ancestors, of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob. And so when Jesus rocks up and says, I am, he is still saying, you have joined a family, you have joined a story, you have joined a mission already in progress. It's not all on you. It's not all up to you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do it all. The outcome is not entirely your responsibility. You're part of a team. You're part of a team. You're part of a family. And at the head of that family, I am, not I was. Not I will be, but I am. For every moment, for everything, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, there is Jesus, I am. For me, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, there is Jesus. Whatever situation you are in, positive, negative, challenging, stretching, growing, developing, scaring you witless, for that, you have Jesus. For that, you have Jesus. And it will be good for you. It will be good for me. It will be good for us to talk to each other and to be able to speak into one another's lives and say, Fred, I hear you, and for this, you have Jesus. You have me too, but ultimately you have Jesus. And so John gets around making sure that everybody knows that Jesus is the same God who did it then, who's doing it now, and who will do it again. That God is still the God who has brought us all out of Egypt, is still bringing us out of Egypt. And Jesus is here to do a new thing. I've been telling your young people that everything in life, breadcrumb two, comes down to five important questions. Five important questions. And in Exodus, when we meet God and God gives us his breathing name, it couldn't be more obvious. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. My point here is that God is a God who sees, God is a God who hears, God is a God who is concerned, who is actioning, who is affirming, who is conferring significance, a present, active God, not someone you have to agree with and search for out there, but someone who is present and breathing and living in here. Always I am. And so we get this. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And I can tell you, even in my life, in fact, it was always going to happen in my life at camp. It's a no-brainer. When you put any of us in a room with that many young people who love the Lord, God is always going to do a new thing. That's why we come together every week. God is always doing a new thing. But sometimes we can't see it unless we're with other people. Yeah. Sometimes it takes the light of the world, breadcrumb three, for us to see ourselves clearly and for us to see others clearly. If we all sat in the dark, we would need a light by which to see ourselves and to see others. And God did a new thing for many of us at camp, but he also did a new thing with us as a team, as a group, and that carries on. Here are your I am statements. So everything that happens from the burning bush all the way through to the 400 years of silence after Malachi, everything that the Lord has done, he is still doing a new thing, and you can bet your bottom dollar that a little baby boy born in Bethlehem was a very big new thing. A very unexpected new thing. Nobody was expecting that. And so here is John saying, here are all the new things. Here are all the new ways to relate to God. Here is Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the sustaining factor in your world. I am the thing that keeps you going. Because you are breathing, you know that I am with you. I am the light of the world. Yes, I do good things in dark places. Breadcrumb four. Very good things. Vegetables grow underground. Don't pull them out of the dark until the work in the dark has been done. Babies grow in dark places. Don't bring them out until the work in the dark has been done. Jesus went into a tomb, and the work that was done there changed the world. If you're in the dark, the youth will tell you, long after I am gone, God does good things in dark places. The darkness is not the absence of God. The fact is that so many things that Jesus did and met with people happened while it was still dark. While it was still dark, the women went to the tomb. While it was still dark, our friend Nicodemus came to Jesus. While it was still dark, they took the body from the cross. While it was still dark, the stone was rolled away. While it is still dark in your life, God is working. While it is still dark, God is still the light of the world. While it is still dark, God is doing something new. You won't see it until you see it. You won't see it until it's in the light. But where it started was in the dark and it was brand new. It's still happening and his love goes on. Not only am I the light of the world, I am the gate for the sheep. We've got to go somewhere. And we've got to get from somewhere to the next place. And how do we do it? How do we do the process? It is with Jesus. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate that closes around and behind them and keeps them safe. I am the gate that designates where you belong and where you're accepted and how you are housed and how you are held. I am that gate. I'm also the gate that's going to keep out the wolves and keep out the poachers and those people who come to steal you away from me and the plans that I have for you. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd in contrast to a poor shepherd. I love you. I'm with you. I know what you need. I'll meet you there. I will find a way through. I will make a new way. I will bring you up into a land flowing with milk and honey. I won't leave you. I am a good, good shepherd. You contrast this with some poor shepherds in the Bible and it's just all kinds of wrong. You see, the youth will tell you the people of God and the love of God is not a product to be used or misused or worked into the ground. The love of God, the people of God, the church is a gift to give and it's a process, not a product. You are not cookie cutters. You are uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made just to be you. Just to be you. And you're beautiful. And you're beautiful. A good shepherd knows all sheep by name and doesn't conform one to the other, but conforms them all to the love he has for them. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Praise God. Because basically the inference is there will be deaths, many the deaths, Lord, you weave through our lives. Many the deaths, and yet many the resurrections. Our lives are a cycle, the youth will tell you, of down, under, and up. Of baptism into and out of the old and into the new. Like down, under, and up. Before you build a brand new building, before you say to God, grow me, make me a big, huge skyscraper. I want to do amazing things for you, God. I want everyone to see me do amazing things for you, God. I want to go and be a leader in your world, in your kingdom. Look, God will very quickly say, that's great, sweetheart. Can you see we've had this conversation so many times? That's great, sweetheart. Do you know how we build something really big and really full of integrity and really good structure? We dig a great big dirty hole first, just so you know. Before you can go up, kiddo, you've got to go down. And we dig a great big dirty hole and we break down the foundations that will no longer hold you. So young people, remember we talked about this. If you have doubts, and remember Thomas and how fiercely I'm going to go after whoever that historian is who misnamed him. It's not the doubt that it's the problem. It's the fear behind the doubt. And to get rid of your fear, God builds a foundation that can hold you. So he'll dig a hole and he'll clear it out and he will build you afresh. He will build you anew because he is the resurrection and the life. We don't have to be afraid of death because God has done it and come out the other side so that we can too. Okay? I am the true vine. Breadcrumb this one with me, team. You are the device. I am the charger. We tried it, guys. I tried it. I had pictures and everything. Vine, branches, Old Testament, vineyards, the whole thing. And then I realized, nah. They don't teach agriculture like that in high schools no more. So what we're doing, you know, classic. I'm the vine, you are the branches. I am the charger, you are the device. Remain in me as Jesus remains plugged into the PowerPoint in the wall and let the electricity of the Holy Spirit flow through all of us. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the charger, you are the device. Apart from me, you can do nothing. 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 So many of us get around on flat batteries. And we charge our phones just enough to make the next call and then we move on with our days. We charge our devices just enough to get through the next meeting and then it doesn't matter if it runs flat because we don't need it again till next week or whenever it is. We can't live like that. We can't work like that because you might be able to get through when you want to, but what if the call is incoming and your device is flat? What if Jesus is calling? What if Jesus is still calling? What if Jesus is calling and you're flat? What if someone else is calling and you're flat? I am the charger. You are the devices. Stay charged because it doesn't matter what kind of apps or fancy programs you want to run. Without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. I am the true vine. And then I am the great I am. Just in case you missed it. Yoo-hoo! It's me! Right? It's me. And John gives us all of these as he goes along in his gospel. It's been so much fun. Introducing a group of people to the John that I am in a relationship with. It's just so good. It's just so much to learn, so many jokes to laugh at. The disciple whom Jesus loved. This is what our brother Mark has to say. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Straight out of Deuteronomy. And he adds, love your neighbor as yourself, out of Leviticus. So Mark is picking up and pouring out. But here's the challenge for us. Doesn't matter how much time we spend at camp. Doesn't matter how well we get to know our Bible. It doesn't matter how much we pour out for each other and with each other. If we can't do this bit, then the story does end with us. And none of us want that because we joined the story in progress. So that other people can join us while we're in progress because we're not a product. Faith is not a product. It's a process. I am not responsible for your relationship with Jesus. Praise God for that. You are also not responsible for my relationship with Jesus. Praise God for that. We are a team and we are in process together. This is what it means to belong to Jesus. So here's the challenge for this verse. It's a very tall expectation. It's a lot. But because of the incarnation, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already shown us how to do. On your worst day, on your hardest day, on the day when the bottom falls out and it all falls apart, on the day where you learn something new and you have to rewrite the last five or however many years, Jesus will still be there. And the examples that he's given us will not change. The plan and the process actually does work. You know when you go to, I was thinking about this on the way home last night. Was that only last night? Last night. I'm driving along, not in the Commodore, guys, I'm in a different car now. Breadcrumb 6. Right, I'm driving along and I'm thinking, you know, I'd love, Lord, when are you going to grow me up to be like Crossway? You know, like when am I going to be able to worship the way they do? Because that's new for me. And very quickly they're like, well, hang on, what have you just been saying for a week? You know, don't go comparing yourself. But also, don't you know, Mia, that it's just good to try even if you can't? Like, but God, my cardio exercise is way behind. I can't. Like, I can't. These people, don't make me compete with these people if we do, like, a mud run or, you know, all the fun community building games I'm thinking that I'd like to be a part of with you. But I'm like, no, they would outrun me so fast because they up down. And I just felt like, oh, no. God, I can't. And there was this sense of like, well, it's good to try even if you can't. It's good to do it afraid. It's good to do it in the dark because it's a process, not a product. And I realized it's really like eating vegetables. You don't always want to, but you do it because it's good for you. You don't always want to worship. You don't always want to pray. You don't always want to connect, but you do it because it's good for you. And this verse is not like you do it perfectly or you don't do it at all. It's you do it in progress and in process as much as you are able to because it's good for you. Do you think that God depends on us loving him? Do you think that we are holding him up and so we actually should feel like we let him down? We're actually not holding God up. We are invited to be a part of it. We don't have to be afraid to be human. We don't have to be afraid to try and try and try again because there is grace and there is love and the Lord gives us a way. So this way forward, this next step of loving each other and of loving with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strengths, with all our hearts, I'm going to say with all our will as well. That's like you go to a doctor and say, I'm struggling, and the doctor says, that's okay, well, you better do these things. But if you don't go and do those things, where are you going to be? Back at the doctor's. How many times do I go to God and be like, we've had this consult before, haven't we? Yep. He told me what to do and I just, for some reason, didn't follow through. And I think the reason I didn't follow through was this bottom bit is so hard. And here's the reason why. Sure, people are different. Sure, people are hard to love. Some people are easier to love on camp and some people are harder, right? Because we're all introverts and extroverts. We do things differently. Some people love being together really close for a week. Some people hate it. Some people love a late night. Some people shouldn't love a late night. Like, not so much. Some people love an early morning, and some people shouldn't love an early morning, right? But loving your neighbor as yourself is hard because in this culture, especially for our young people, loving yourself is way harder. I'll just say that again. In the world that our young people are living in today, loving yourself in a non-selfish, self-acceptance, going to take responsibility for my life way is a lot harder than loving your neighbor. A lot harder. Because loving your neighbor is you engaging with the question, does Jesus love them? Of course, big fat yes. Engaging with love my neighbor as I love myself is you engaging with your doubt and fear, does Jesus actually love me? Am I lovable? Because nobody knows you better than you, except for your parents who raised you. They actually do at the moment. Yes, Dad, yes! Good, leverage that. If we practice the Bible, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and we reordered it to, well, gosh, I've got to love myself and then I can love my neighbor and then I can love God. We'd all be beating up on each other all the time because truthfully, we don't often practice that we love ourselves, right? We're real good to sign up for ministries, put our names on rosters, love the Lord by our doing as if it's a product, quick to love others because sometimes it makes us feel good to love others. I mean, for lots of other reasons too. Please just pretend that we've done all the caveats, right? I have a good heart. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to love you. But the I can't love God and I can't love others until I love myself bit, that is a real challenge for us as young people. Well, I'm not young, but for the young people, that is a real, real challenge. And spending time together and working together and breathing together and being in process together, that's how you do it. because it's by that light that you see how to love others, and then when you see others love you, you learn to love yourself, because we're all made in the image of God. Making sense? Holding together. And so on the back of that, John says, okay, you've heard it before. You've heard it all before. In fact, you've been doing it cyclically from generation to generation. And behold, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you are in process with me. Don't read the word disciple and think good Christian. Read disciple and see someone who is in process. Read disciple and see someone who is taking one more step towards Jesus. Read disciple and see someone who is just trying to orientate the right way, even if it's in the dark. Read disciple and see someone who is trying to reorder their disorder. Not someone who has a perfect order, breadcrumb 7, but someone who is trying to just bring order to their disorder. This is what it means to be a disciple. For God so loved the disorder. For God so loved the thing that was put together on a system that was not reflective of God, that he gave his only son. Why? Because not one person, no matter where they're up to in the process, should perish. Talk to your young people. They will explain that to you. They are very intelligent. By this, all people will know that you're in process with Jesus if you love one another. And this is how we love. We see people. We hear people. We accept people. We confer significance on people. We love people. It's very, very hard. It's also very, very good. It's very, very true. And very, very beautiful. Just like you. Did you see me? Did you hear me? Do you accept me? Not do I look enough like you, cheer enough like you, up down enough like you to belong to you, but do you accept me just for me while you're still you? Am I significant? Do you love me? Do you love me? And what we learn on camp is that while every interaction in our lives and in the book of John and in really the whole Christian narrative comes down to these five things and people finding them and their answers for this in Jesus, this is your identity in Christ, it also comes down to us saying this of Christ himself. Yes, Lord, I see you. Yes, Lord, I see you. Yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. Yes, Lord, I accept you. Yes, Lord, you are significant, even in this moment, even in this moment, even in this moment. And yes, Lord, we love you. As a result of all of these things, we love you. Can you see how this goes all the way back to Exodus? Can you see how this goes all the way back to being a present and active God and so being a present and active participant in the process? We are all working together. It's not that God stands stationary and says, "Let the people come." Absolutely not. God hooks himself in with one of those carabiners that we used on the Flying Fox and tethers the other end to you and just says, "Well, where are you going? I'm coming too." And how close you are on that leash is up to you, because God is always there. I see you. I hear you. I accept you. You are significant because you're made right in my image, and I love you. Present and active, in process, not for the sake of a product that has already been dealt with, but to be in it together. And I think for us, we spent time talking about the dark places. We spent time talking about Nicodemus. We spent time talking about the disorder. We spent time talking about the vine and the charger and the branches and the PowerPoints. We spent time talking about the peace that needs to be there between us at the end. We did all of that. We talked about chipping away the clay because the 10% should never dictate to the 90%. True? True. Ask about that. Ask about that. And in the end, we're standing here at the end of camp, ready for the second half of the year, ready for term 3, and we're saying, one more, one more, one more. Not one more camp, not one more service, not one more moment, but one more step. I want to see you, Lord. One more. I want to hear you, Lord. One more. I want to know that I'm accepted and to accept one more. Bring me one more to accept. Because this is how you grow, right? If you're not always practicing your seeing, hearing, accepting, conferring significance and loving, you're not a disciple. You're not in process. One more. One more. Corporately and individually, one more, God. One more. And not just you out, but you in. One more, Lord. I need to hear from you. Always, always we need to hear. Always, always we need to see. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see. One more. Show me one more. You know, I've been sitting in these night sessions, and it's really hard to stand still. Like, obviously for lots of cultural reasons, but at the same time, it's like God is very quick to, like, oh, one more. Okay, quick, I need a buddy because I'm a good leader. So I need a buddy. I want to pray for someone. Give me a buddy. Oh, one more, one more, one more. And then when am I on? One more, one more, one more. And it's very hard to leave you as a people because I'm still feeling one more. Like, one more, one more. And I think for us, as we go into the second half, and your second half might be different. Your second half might be retirement. Your second half might be a job change. Your second half might be that your last child who's in kindergarten is about to go into prep next year. Whatever your second half looks like, whatever your transition is, whatever your, you know, there are things happening at Crossway that I'm only just sort of, I'm reading on the back of toilet doors, you know, like, you guys are doing stuff. You guys are going places. You guys are making change. You guys are doing the seeing and the hearing and the accepting and the loving and the conferring significance upon the state. One more. One more, but not for the sake of a product, so that I can keep in process. Yeah? And so I suppose if God isn't present, I am God, then I really want to end by telling you, one, talk to your young people. Two, follow the breadcrumbs because there's good food at the end of it, and which is actually your relationship with the young people. Hold that. But thirdly, there is one more step for you right now. There is one more step for me, and ahead of that there will be another one and another one and another one. But it's no use us perceiving it as a lifetime of 1,000 steps, because we lose that intimacy, we lose the closeness, we lose the I am-ness of the presence of God. If we're always just looking forward to next Friday at youth or next winter camp or the next big thing that Crossway does, we miss the process of, God, have you got me? Yes, I've got you. Great, one more step. One more step, one more. And so for you, it's one more prayer. It's one more piece of scripture to hang your hope on. It's one more apology. It's one more time you can offer forgiveness. It's one more time that you reach out and affirm. It's one more time that you ask a question and say, how can I grow? It's one more time that you back yourself. It's one more time that you learn to love yourself. It's one more time that you confront yourself, and it's one more time that you can let it go. One more, one more, one more, so that none may perish, so that none may be disordered. How does the disorder become ordered? One breath at a time. One breath at a time. I really feel like I've been all over the shop, but you have things to learn from each other. Always one more. Young people, it's time for you to become people who are in process with people who are not in youth. We want to hold the tension and close the generational gap, because we're all one more, one more, one more, one more step, one more step, one more step. Let me pray for you. I've never done this service before, so I don't actually know how this goes. But I know how I would do it. So just follow me. Stay with me. Breadcrumb 9. Stay with me. Just bow your heads or close your eyes or do whatever you do to feel present. Maybe you stick your hands out or you do whatever it is that you need to do. You ask God with me, Lord, we want our one more. Our next step. Our next sight. Our next hearing, our next piece of the puzzle. For you, you might very well know what the next thing is that you need, that you're desperate for, but for many you won't, and that's okay. Lord, good God, loving Father, present Spirit, gracious brother. Come now, Lord. Be among your people. Be close to your people. Sit in their midst, hands on their shoulders, heads on their chests. Lord, be close to your beloved disciples, to the people you've said that you love. Lord, I pray that you make their next one, whatever that is, very clear. And that you don't ask, you need to know, God doesn't ask you to do your next one while he waits on the other side for you to do it. He doesn't stand opposite you and just wait for you to do it on your own. The one more is done together. It's a teamwork. It's a process. It's a family. It's a relationship. I am in the Father as you are in me. I am the force and the force is with me, if that helps you. Yes. Lord, we pray for the next step. We pray for the next step. We pray for the next step. Do it with us. Make us courageous. Make us bold. Help us to see clearly. Lord, thank you for John and all of the steps he took so that we may take them in his wake. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, and for the way he taught us to step forward to death and even death on a cross, into the tomb, and resurrected in all of your glory. I pray the same steps for these ones. As individuals, as families, as married pairs, as dating pairs, we pray this for our children in Crossway Kids. We pray this for our youth ministry. We pray this for our youth leaders and teams, that we would all step together, that we would all step together, and that we would continue to see your great goodness in the land of the living with every breath, with every step. One more, Lord. One more. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Amen.